On this week's show, I talk about Star Trek Discovery.
Oh, God, not again, you bellend.
Cardboard, cardboard, come and get your cardboard. Nintendo are selling cardboard.
Here at Nintendo, we're always trying to build the next great big thing, but sometimes we want you to build it, you fucking idiot. So grab some cardboard and have some fun with Nintendo Labo.
And I talk about Britannia. Rule Britannia.
Stay tuned.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, gamers and geeks alike, people who are Nintendo fans, kings, queens, Klingons and YouTubers. Welcome to this week's Monkey Nut Bunch podcast.
Yay! I didn't interrupt you.
Fuck off. And as you can hear, I have Nigel with me. Say hello, Nigel.
Nigel.
And for the second time this year, give him a round of applause, please. It's Keith.
Hi.
Oh, yes. Oh, so happy he's here. Oh, I can't wait to not get a word in edgeways.
Fuck you. And on this week's show, we'll be discussing the Nintendo Labo, the TV show Britannia, Star Trek Discovery, and the controversy surrounding YouTube's demonetization of smaller channels.
Everyone! So,
95%. So, let's talk about the Nintendo Labo. I saw, YouTube video for this on the 17th. God, what day was that?
17th. Two days ago.
Wednesday. Yeah, so it was on the Wednesday. And the Nintendo Labo, it's like a paper construction kit that you fit around your Nintendo Switch. And there's some really simple things in there, like they had like Joy-Cons with like walkers and bits, and there's some really complex bits in there, like a piano with strings inside, and a weird kind of like backpack with a punchy arm on it, so you can pretend
like
to
a
be a monster. Yeah. So they had things like that. They had like fishes and bits like that. It looks like it's going to cost a bit, which I think Nigel found out how much it's going to cost.
So there's two packs. There's two versions of it. You let me know if you want me to go on. Two packs. You've got the variety pack, which includes things like what Gav said. So you've got like the little motorcycle thing, you've got the fishing thing, and little things like a little robot thing where you use the joy pads as a... Well, you put it in the thing and you control it with the pad. And that'll cost you $69.99.
Yep.
However, there is a second one, which is the bigger one, like the robot. They call it the robot pack. And that is $79.99. Price point, good? No?
It's just to get this straight, yeah? This is bits of cardboard, yeah, that you put together and make, okay? So you've got these bits of cardboard and you put together. When I was younger, there was a TV show called Take Nobody's Word for It, and they had a thing called a paper engineering kit, which I sent off for. And the paper engineering kit allowed you to make things like cranes and similar things to what they had here. So you got cranes, buildings, cars and stuff like that. And it's exactly the same, apart from I had to score it with like a scalpel style thing, a craft knife, sorry. And this looks exactly the same, apart from you look like you just like kind of break it out of the holes. Now, yeah. You and I had the same impression when we first saw the advert where you've got the big press.
Yeah.
It comes to the big press and it shows you the cardboard being cut into like kind of certain layers. We thought it would be a case of you go onto the Nintendo site, you design whatever you wanted, and then they print it out for you and send it to you. But it's not the case. As Nigel said, you get three packs of cardboard, which you can get for free at your local supermarket.
Mm.
But they're charging between $50 and $80 for the fucking thing. It's madness.
Yeah. Well, it's $69 and $79.
Isn't one of them a headset? And you put the robot pack one, the one that has the arm pack on it and the string things at the back. Didn't I see a video on Facebook where you put the wee bit in the headset?
I don't know, because I rewatched that bit and it looked like he was wearing giant novelty glasses. And if it's if it's cardboard and putting that on your head, given the way the Nintendo Switch is, I wouldn't want to be doing that on a hard surface. I think you might be right, but I haven't seen enough evidence to prove that you're right, if that makes sense.
You do put the Samsons in...
Google Cardboard.
In Google Cardboard, Google. You do.
They've taken inspiration from Google Cardboard. That's what they've seen. They said, somebody's got a mobile phone and stuck it in there and called it VR.
Hang on a second. That might be why they haven't put it in the image, because they may be having legal things they have to deal with first before they can put it in. So it may be a case of it does exist, but they can't really show it because the lawyers haven't yet signed off on it. And then if they haven't signed off on it, it just won't be in there. And if they do sign off, it will be in there. So that's something to think of. Does that make sense, Keith? Because that's what I think has happened there.
I just remember seeing a video last week, because this was before I saw the Labo thing, and I thought, what's this bullshit? And they were making all the cardboard stuff up. And I'm damnably sure I saw them put the Switch screen in a headset and put it over his head. And then he had the sort of 1970s spaceman backpack thing.
Yeah.
There is one where they've got a place to put the Switch screen, but I didn't see a headset one, but I've only seen one vid. I don't know. I think if people go for this, then if you think about it, it's going to be for like more like kids and teenagers and shit. And how rough do kids and teenagers treat shit, right? Can you imagine how easily those cardboard bits are just going to break?
Yeah.
Yeah, but if these are cardboard packs, right, some bloke's going to put them on the internet and you can print them.
Somebody will. Mm. However, they may copyright the designs. And if they do, they'll find out about it. This is Nintendo.
Yeah, I know that. But that's not going to stop the dark web. You know, they're going to
It won't, but as soon as they find out, you know. Yeah, you could get a cutting press and copy it. Or maybe just get a fucking bit of cardboard and cut round it with some scissors, whatever. But I don't like it.
On another note, maybe people with 3D printers might print these things out using a 3D printer and more durable plastics, making a better version of it. So within a week of this coming out, there'll be some smart ass in the Netherlands who's managed to produce a 3D plastic version of the stuff that you want, which you can send to your local 3D printer and then get like a plastic fishing rod or a plastic backpack or piano or walker or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think you're wrong.
I think they will. Absolutely. As long as they can, you know, connect up, have the right size for your controllers and whatnot. Yeah. Totally. What do you think, Keith? You're the only one out of us a Switch.
And you're the only one of us who buys into fads too, so...
I do not buy into fads.
iPhone fad.
I've had an iPhone for the last 10 years. It's hardly a fad.
Fad.
Piss off.
It's a fad, Keith.
I'm intrigued by it because I like making shit and I like the idea of making these things. I think
hang on, I just realised, how much money do you spend on headphones? Did I work out? It's like almost £300.
Yeah, well, that I was waiting for that one to come back.
He's already bought it.
You couldn't even hear us on him.
He's bought it. Do you know the worst thing is, it will get delivered, they'll leave it outside, it'll rain, it'll be wet and fucking useless. Sorry, Keith.
I like the idea of building the stuff, but I think it's extremely overpriced if that's going to be the final cost.
Oh, yeah. Well, we were saying Wii Sports, for example, was, £20 in the end if you bought that separately from the console. And then you got those little controllers and things like that. Now, usually an extra tenner, 10, maybe £15. This is a bit of fucking cardboard.
Is it the cardboard and the game?
It's cardboard plus the game. It's a pack. It's a pack, yeah. They're in
the
pictures,
games are not going to be. The games are not going to be massively detailed, are they? Because my question is,
are they going to bring out further cardboard accessories that are then priced at like 10 quid or 15 quid? And they haven't really announced that yet because I've been googling it as well.
Accompanied by microtransactions to buy said program to run the add-ons.
We've got a new thing
you can play. It's fantastic.
I have to say, before we take a massive dump on it, I like the fact that Nintendo's trying something different. Okay.
Yes.
The pricing is screwy, but then anything Nintendo is always been priced way in the premium band. It always has been. You know, I mean, Mario Odyssey was, what, 59 quid? That was on download. That wasn't even with the fucking card.
I saw it in the store. That's, 59.
It's ridiculous. Nintendo has always been in that price, but I do kind of like the idea of them trying something new, and I like the idea of them of making things because that's a hands-on thing. So you know, this is a good skill for a child to learn, and it's not just a video game. They're making the kids use their hands, and I know that don't make any comments, but you know what I mean. It's not just sitting there on a screen all the time, and they're being able to use their sort of three-dimensional skills and engineering skills. I think there's something in this. I don't like the price, don't get me wrong, but I like the idea of it. I like the concept.
I know you mentioned it's great that the kids are going to make this stuff, right? It's fucking cardboard. My kids, I've seen my older kid try to open a box and he's pulled the top out and the whole thing's ripped just by pulling the lid open on the box because it's just the way it is. Cardboard can be flimsy.
It depends what age they're at, though, Nige, and how much supervision. You know, I mean, you know, Your son Gareth is older than Nigel's too, isn't he?
No.
He's the same age. Well, how would he react to it? Because he's brilliant with Lego.
My kids. My kids can do Lego,
but they would rip
easily because they don't. They're not easily broken, are they? They can be as rough as you want with Lego. Lego will break your foot.
Hold on, Nigel. I just like to tell you a little story about a man who built a giant Lego castle for his son over Christmas. Uh-huh. And then we had like an Easter party and someone's two children turned up and wrecked said Lego castle. Bastards. I blame the parents.
Well, clearly the parents haven't given boundaries. You don't break other people's shit.
Yeah, Nigel.
Yeah.
But okay, all right.
I don't know, kids. I just have a dog. It might shit on your lawn, but that's about the worst thing you'll do.
Right, have we got anything else to add? Because I want to wrap this up because I just want to make a few points just to top this
off.
No, I
like the concept, but I'd like to know more about the pricing before I say anything more, I think.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so you got anything, Nigel? Okay.
No.
All right, so given the fact that it is cardboard, I can predict several things. One, there'll be a shortage of said cardboard when this comes out, because that's what Nintendo does. They create the scarcity in order to keep people wanting it and the demand up. All right, so that's the first thing. Second thing is there will be accidents with this cardboard, which will be making the national newspapers, yeah, where some kid throws his Switch controller through because of his robot arm isn't quite attached, yeah? And then there'll be other parents who will be saying, this costs too much for cardboard. But people are going to love it regardless. That's what I predict. Do you think I'm right or wrong?
I think you're probably right.
Okay. And thanks, guys, for saying I was right. Yes, ego boost.
For once,
2 points.
I agree. There will be people, adults, of course.
Hang on.
Blaming Nintendo.
I'm just checking outside if there's a blue moon. Yeah.
Yeah. Did the pig fly past as well?
Right, so, Nigel, do you want to talk about the TV show Britannia?
Yeah, so Britannia, it is a new programme that just came out. I think it came out last week, actually. There's been two episodes so far. and it's got nine in total, nine episodes in total. It's a joint venture between Sky and Amazon Prime. So, two recognisable actors who you may know. Mackenzie Crook.
Oh, yeah.
From Parks Caribbean, you know, one with wonky art, well, wouldn't I? And, oh, yeah, The Office, yeah. I've forgotten his name in The Office.
He was also
the UK Office.
He was also
UK Office, not the US.
His name was Gareth.
That's it, Gareth. That's right. Isn't that right?
That's why I don't forget him.
And also David Morrissey, also yes. known as the Governor from The Walking Dead.
Also now, played Doctor Who. He played the Doctor's second person in an episode of Doctor Who.
Oh. Yeah. So you've got, I mentioned Mackenzie Crook. He is some sort of druid called Veran. He is very weird. He has on his nails, each nail has a very small circular piercing, like a hoop on each of his nails. So he looks really, really odd. Clean shaven head, tattoos and like scars over his face. He looks weird. And they depict the druids as being a bit of a weird group of people, strange group of people who can talk to the underworld, where people have died and they've gone to the underworld. And you've got David Morrissey, who plays somebody called Anulus Platius. Yeah, Plotius.
Who is Roman?
He is an actual... Yeah, he's Roman. And he is an actual... not character. He's... Anulus was actually a Roman general back in 43 AD. So it's, in my opinion, back when... Do you remember Boudicca?
Yeah, I like to call it Boudicca, though. Because Boudicca sounds Boudicca. Much better.
Boudicca sounds better, but it's
does it just right? It sounds like someone who's going to kick your ass. It sounds like a man who's going to kick your ass.
It is, but
a woman, hey.
Boudicca, or Boudicca, was a woman back in, I think it was Scotland? No, lower than Scotland, back Midlands, where they lived.
I thought it was around about St Albans, which is like southern England.
Not quite. Sort of Milton Keynes, sort of. Anyway,
Milton Keynes. Norfolk. Was from Milton Keynes.
Back in 43 AD.
Sorry,
the Romans. They in real life, back in history, they actually did invade Britain, which is not surprising. And back then, we were a group of Picts, Druids, Celts, just people, you know, milling about, having little internal wars and clans and stuff like that. You know, now. That is basically it in a nutshell for Britannia. And this guy, it is a real person from history. They've taken it. David Morrissey's playing him. And it basically starts off showing you the unrest within the ranks of the Roman warriors back on their shore before they come over to Britain. And people are deserting, and they show how ruthless the Romans really were with deserters and stuff like that. So eventually they go over, but before they go over, they show the Druids and actually the Celts and how the Celts are living. And they've got this thing called the Solstice, where once a year, girls come of age, girls then turn to women through a ceremony. It's a weird ceremony where the woman, she'll blow some sort of smoke, get them all drugged up and stuff, and then they'll cut like a symbol around the navel on the stomach. Weird. I don't see the point, but, you know, druids and those sort of ages. Back in 43 AD, I think we were probably still doing that shit, you know. And there's some rituals things that this girl, she's not quite following... But they say, it's fine, we did it before, you know, and nothing happened. It's all lies, you know, sort of thing. And then the Romans invade. And it's all out bloodshed. But up until that point, it was a little bit weird, in my opinion. You know, they're showing the Druids and how weird they really are. And this other bloke, who's an outcast, he's super weird. That's probably why he's outcast. You know, either that or he's more powerful than Mackenzie's Crook character, Veran, and he doesn't like it, so he kicked him out. I don't know yet. So they invade, bloodshed, and then they've set up camp, and they're scattered everywhere. And then they're, like back in history, Boudicca, she united the clans against the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
United them, and there was a big uprising against, and they drove the Romans back down into southern England, tried to get rid of them. I think in the end, it failed. But however, I think there's going to be a uniting of the clans with this, because you see at one point, I won't say what happens, but basically there's two rival clans. They're meeting up, shit happens, and you can tell they're rivals. There's killing and all that sort of stuff. But then you can tell there's got to be something with those two that they're going to have to unite, because they seem fairly large clans. They're not small numbers, they're fairly large. So they're going to have to reunite to drive the Romans out.
Okay, all right. So let me see if I've heard this properly. So let's translate what you just said. All right. So it's set during the Roman invasion of Great Britain.
Yep.
Yeah. To which the Romans come, and we're still a group of divided Celtic or Druid tribes.
Yep.
And you're hoping that the series is going to be, you see the Romans invade, they invade, they take control, and then after they take control, the guys all start getting united, and they figure out how to kick the Romans out, and then they kick the Romans out, and the end of series.
Could well be, yeah. Is this only 9 episodes? I say only. It's usually the shorter ones where it's action-packed is 6. So they've got an extra 3 on that. So it could well be exactly that, just how they go about unite the clans might take a little bit longer before they start going back.
This is the next thing. Does it focus more on the kind of historical battle side of it, or is it more the social culture side of it?
I'd say more social culture and the culture around how they're living and all that sort of stuff.
So it's just from my perspective, it hasn't got the battles like you get in, say, Game of Thrones, even though I don't watch Game of Thrones.
So initially, you do see a lot of bloodshed because the Romans have invaded, and they show a lot of bloodshed around that. So I don't know yet what is going to happen in big scale when whoever unites the clans and they fight against each other. There could well be a Game of Thrones style battle on the big battleground. I'd be disappointed if there wasn't, to be honest.
Yeah, it's interesting that you both bring up Game of Thrones, because they are brandishing it, and I hate the way they do this because it just shows a sign of unintelligence. But they're calling it the new Game of Thrones. I've said it and I won't say it again. Is it anything like that? Is it in that league? Because obviously it's dealing with multiple characters,
mm-hmm.
but is it lifting from a text anywhere? Is it lifting from a book of any description, or is this just something entirely thought for because we need to have our own Game of Thrones thing? Kind of.
I don't think it's lifting from a book, but I think it's taking inspiration from history and the Roman Empire's actual invasion of Britain.
So there's no fantasy element to it?
The fantasy element is there because they can talk to the underworld. The druids can talk to the underworld.
But hang on, hold on a second. Is it like they're actually talking to the underworld, or they're making shit up?
This guy who's an outcast. So he tries to warn people because he's saying, you know, things are talking to me. I can hear everything. Everything's saying the same thing, that we won't see the light of day tomorrow. And they kick him out. They go, fuck off, mate. What you talk? You're an outcast for a reason. You're a twat. Get out. And he buggers off. He does some, I don't know, weird ritual thing, and actually enters the underworld himself. And they show that. So it does sound like they can, and they actually, this same guy, they show him do something else at another point after the invasion. So,
So it's not like a case of today where if we had someone running around saying they could hear voices, we just call them schizophrenic and put them in mental institutions. It's weird how we know things today that they didn't know beforehand, because we put them in a mental institute today. But no, they were prophets or oracles, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I think there is a little bit of fantasy to it. So yeah, I can see why people are saying that, Keith.
Yeah. Hmm. Can you give us a rating, what you think of it so far, just watching the first episode? Give it on a scale out of 10 and just say...
Out of 10...
I'm being
very critical, because in some parts it was really weird, and it was probably really weird because of what they were showing with the druids. So I'm going to go with a 6 at the moment. However, I think they were trying to cram a lot in for the first episode to show everybody.
Yeah.
And I think if they do move it on a little bit, it could definitely go up.
Okay.
If it's not as weird as the first episode, then I think you could definitely, it could definitely move up to a 7 or an 8 out of 10. Although Game of Thrones, if we're relating to Game of Thrones, I'd say Game of Thrones mostly is an 8 or a 9 out of 10 for me, because it's so slow in places and I get bored. So just to give you an idea, the IMDb are actually rating it. It's 6.4 out of 10 at the moment. From 770 reviews. It's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
It's not bad, but it's definitely one to keep an eye on.
Okay, so is this a recommended watch 4 episodes to make your mind up after the 4 episodes?
I'd say watch 4, yeah. 4's not out yet. There's only been 2. So I've watched the first one. This is my review on the first one. But it's intrigued me enough to try and watch a second. And then if it builds, like you would hope, it would build and get a little bit more intriguing, then it would definitely be worth a third and a fourth episode, at least.
Okay, is there any way the people in the States can find this, or is this on Amazon in the States?
I'm assuming it's got to be.
Sky for us and Amazon.
I would expect, because it's Sky, it says here it's joint venture between Sky in the EU and Amazon Prime US. It's quite possible you can watch it on Amazon Prime in the US, but when I looked at UK, I couldn't watch it on Amazon in the UK, but you might be able to have a look on Amazon Prime in the US.
Okay, cool. So, talking of weird shit that happens on TV. Keith, you want to talk about Star Trek Discovery, as we lovingly refer to it as STD?
I do again. A little bit, because it's been a bit different, hasn't it?
It's been coherent.
Well, yeah,
it's very coherent.
I just want to say before we get started, fucking called it.
I fucking called it. Do you know what? I'm going to make
it. What, they're not Klingons?
No, who the Ash Tyler character was.
Yeah.
So, you know the... right, so Asian Chappie turns up like episode 3 or 4, right? And he has... And if you look on IMDb, the guy that was playing the Klingon, the one that Burnham stabs...
Vok.
That's it. The guy on IMDb that was playing him has no other stuff on there. It was just Star Trek Discovery. No pictures of him, nothing. And it became, towards the end, it got pretty obvious that Vok was this Ash Tyler, although they didn't say it in the final episode, but they kind of subtly implied it. And then the next episode, they heavily implied it. And then the episode after that, they fucking confirmed it. So I just want to say, fucking called it, because we recorded a podcast just before Christmas where I said that I think Ash Tyler is Vok, and I was right.
I think I said it weeks before you, by the way.
Whatever. Fucking called it. Oh, and I'd also like to say, while we're on the subject, fucking called who the Empress was as well, because they're now in the Mirror Universe, and it suddenly got interesting. Because you know what I said a few weeks ago about how I found like all Mirror Universe episodes really, really fucking boring. This is not, and it's almost hurting me to say this.
Can I just a quick one? Yeah, Sarek. Yeah.
Yes.
He did the Mirror Universe thing with the old tash and beard.
He did, and that was such a little nod back to the thing. But the uniforms they're wearing is very 60s-esque. The bit where they're in the torture chambers, that's very almost got a 60s vibe going on about it. I love the callback to the USS Defiant. And when they bring it up on the screen, it looks like the original Constellation class vessel, which is, for your information, Nigel, is the Enterprise. But it looked like it had the dish and everything. It wasn't the movie version of it. It was the proper yeah. one. And I like what they've done, as I said, with the costumes. The thing I really like is the look and feel. It's very much... there's lots of hints of classic Trek there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. So let me just... Because you didn't quite run down what happened in the episode.
Well, I was about to do that. I just wanted to say... I just wanted to say, fucking called it. That was all. Anyway, all right. So Star Trek Discovery came back 2 weeks ago, and it started off, and, you know, very, very quickly we learned that they are in the Mirror Universe. And so you've got that A story going on. They work out they're in the Mirror Universe, and they need to change the identity of the ship and blend in. They find out that Tilly was the captain, and Burnham was captain of the other ship, which was the
Shenzhou.
Shenzhou. So at the minute they said Burnham is... the Shenzhou, they've already said that What's-a-Fart, who I forgot, character Philippa Georgiou, was coming back into it. So that's the Empress. Because you keep hearing them banging on about the Emperor. And this week, she, you know, right at the end of the episode, we'll get to this point, she reveals, the Empress is revealed, and it's none other than Georgiou. But anyway, so you've got that going on. Then you've got this B story going on with Ash Tyler, who's suddenly having more and more, what they're making out to be is PTSD attacks. He's getting these flashbacks. He's in this cool little robot thing trying to get a core worker out of a ship to work out where they are. And that, sorry?
Worker bee.
You see, he's a geek. They're in a really cool robot thing, Nigel. I'm trying to explain it.
It's called
a worker bee. Nigel, it has like virtual fucking Iron Man style arm thing. It's awesome. Anyway, he has a panic attack there. And then he has another one, and Burnham covers up for him. And this carries on throughout the whole episode, and until he gets to the point where he's in with the Doctor, you know, the nice to see Doctor.
I'm going to interrupt you, because we covered this last week, and I said this is going to piss Keith off because we've covered it. Can you move on to the current episode?
No, because I need to have my say on that, because did that not just shock you when no. Doctor's neck just got... like that.
No, it didn't shock me.
I was still quite...
It didn't shock me.
It didn't
shock me at all. If it had killed Anthony Rapp's character off, if you'd listened to the podcast last week...
I did, but I'm covering me. It. anyway.
I told you it'd piss him off, Nigel. What did I say?
Right. So the next episode, we are very much in... I'm getting thumbs up from Gareth and a really condescending look. So the next episode... Well, not as much happened, really.
What do you mean? Well, I thought quite a bit happened. Well, first thing they did... right, let's get it straight, yeah? The first thing is you genuinely find out that it's Vok, yeah? You go through the whole motions of finding out it's Vok. You've got to find out that Saru is on the Shenzhou with Burnham, and Saru is Burnham's servant.
There's an interesting thing going on where Saru... and Burnham are lying to each other.
Yeah.
To that was the spare thing I was
gonna,
each other.
That was the next point I was going to... Yeah, that was the next thing I was going to bring up, the fact that she turned around and said that, because she probably didn't want to upset him. Yeah, and that's a nice aspect of the character. That means the character's getting better as a person.
Yeah, and he's not telling her about the murder because he doesn't want her to worry. That's nice lying,
I'll be honest with you.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. They're lying to each other to spare each other hurt. And I like that dynamic that's going on between the two characters. I like Tilly's journey as the captain. I like how, you know, she was really nervous the first time, but then when she walks onto the bridge at the end of that first episode, you probably covered, but then there's more of it in the second day. She is proper fucking kick-ass. And
But this is the thing. You Right, you've got Vok, yeah, and you've got the what is it, the Terran Alliance, is it called?
The Terran Empire.
Yeah, so you've got the Terran Alliance or Terran Empire, yeah, which is going around, yeah, and they found out that there's a Klingon that has united all the alien factions together. And they're like, if a Klingon has done this, even though they got the whole thing with the Klingon pureness and all that stuff, if we can find that Klingon might be the person who can help us in the other universe and tell us why they got to that, reached that conclusion. Yeah? So that's when they go land on the planet. That's when Vok meets Vok as Ash Tyler. And Ash Tyler then starts speaking Klingon and attacks him for not being pure Klingon, even though Ash Tyler has been surgically altered to look like a human and genetically altered too. So that makes him less pure than the fucking Klingon there, who's speaking English, by the way, which makes life so much fucking easier. Please keep it up. I understand why you do it, for dramatic purposes, yeah? But it's one of those things. You should have it so you get into an episode, they start talking foreign language, and then all of a sudden just drifts into English and everyone understands what the fuck's going on.
Perfect example of that was The Hunt for the Red October.
Yes.
How they did that. Brilliantly done, so that was.
Or you could do hello, hello, and just have them speak with accents.
Good morning.
Both work.
What's he saying?
Yeah, so the thing with Vok, and then she discovers that he did that. Then she confronts him in his quarters towards the end of the episode. He gets confronted, he attacks her. Saru from the alternate universe saves her, so he's her man butler, yeah, saves her, and then tells the others to go and execute him, yeah? To which she turns around and goes, I'll do it. So she goes up to the transporter, she fucking decks him one, slips in the old Defiant information into his pocket without him noticing, and then beams him into outer space. And I'm watching it going, come on, fucking die. Die, and then have the Discovery pick his body up. Pick his body up, and then get the coordinates over. But they saved him. They fucking saved him. But Saru on the fucking Discovery knew it was him.
That was very important. I know you wanted him to die, but Saru makes a comment straight after that. We don't kill people, and it's a very good point, because they're basically saying that we, even though there has been no real Starfleet thing throughout this entire series until fucking now, they make the point that, you know, this is the Federation and they're still a Federation starship. They don't execute people. And it's quite an important distinction, and I think it's something we're going to see more and more of, because Lorca is going fucking batshit crazy. I mean, you can't blame him. He's been it was already batshit crazy before we went in there, and now he's been tortured 24/7 in the fun fucking tube things. It's important that there's going to be that distinction. I think it's going to be more and more as Lorca descends into madness.
Do you know what gets me is I think you missed the biggest twist of that episode.
What?
Because the biggest twist comes at the end when what was his name? Who's the pilot? I call him the Navigator. His other one died. Stamets. When Stamets starts waking up, yeah, and he gets into the what I would like the spore zone, yeah? Guess who he fucking meets? Evil Stamets.
Yes, he does.
Right at the end, which means they've got a spore drive too.
Yes. No, I already knew that because of the mirror thing. The mirror where he's still standing in the mirror,
yeah,
when he walks away.
The question is whether that version of Stamets, yeah, has been monitoring their side.
Do you think that version of Stamets is going to be ulterior version of Doctor, and somehow rekindle some kind of relationship? Or
I think evil Stamets is going to take over good Stamets' brain, and good Stamets is going to go into evil Stamets' brain. So they're going to do a body swap.
Yeah, could make sense.
And then he'll be on the Discovery spying on them, I think, because that's more interesting. And then the other Stamets is going to learn stuff as it goes along, which will help them get back into the regular universe. That's what I think. And if that happens, Keith, hang on, remember this, Nigel. Fucking called it.
Yeah, whatever. I've had my two fucking calls it. I've got, we're 2-1 at the moment. So yeah, just want to point that out.
Fucking 8-7, I think.
The one thing that I think we can both agree on, this series has suddenly got quite interesting.
It's yes, it has. It was shite at the beginning.
Yeah, no, I agree with you.
It was absolute shite. But now it's coherent. It's telling a story. The characters are well defined. The lines are well defined. We know what we're doing. We have a clear goal in what the characters are doing. We know what's going on, and this is good for us as audience members. It's a shame it's taken this long, but I think part of that is probably them getting feedback from how people felt about stuff.
Well, I think these last six episodes are going to be really strong for the first series, and I'm hopefully it will leave me wanting more. That's what I want. That's what I've wanted since day one. I mean, I've been really hard on this series, and I know I have. And we've had messages from people saying, you know, I love Star Trek Discovery. Well, we want to love it. Well, I certainly do. I mean, the amount of fucking money they're spending on an episode, it looks awesome. But the one thing that still bugs me, please, 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 please admit that it's an alternate universe. Just please.
I think at the end of the series, they're going to jump into another parallel universe.
That could be interesting. That's a good idea.
And that would explain why we haven't got spore drives in the normal Star Trek universe, because they never fucking get back. And it's a weird kind of like, it's like Quantum Leap, but with a starship.
Well, that could be a great idea. I mean, there is talk of them doing another thing, because Brian Feller, who came up with the idea for Discovery before he left, wanted to do an anthology series. And there's talk of them doing an anthology series after this anyway, or an additional series, because, believe it or not, it has done well for Paramount or whatever that CBS or Access or whatever it's called. Yeah. It's doing well for them, so you know. Let's
hope for the future. So
yes.
Anything more to add?
No. Just I gave. What do you? I give the last two episodes 7 out of 10. Both.
I'd probably give. Yeah, I'd say 6, but a solid 6. There's no fucking arguing with both of them, which is still a good measure for me.
Yeah,
no, I'm getting tighter with my measures. If I think it's better than normal, it is a 6 automatically, and it has to be something outstanding. Okay, I received a very nasty email during the week, to which I fucking jumped onto WhatsApp, into a little WhatsApp group, and started tweeting away. And what it was fucking YouTube, yeah, had cancelled our partnership program. What a bunch of wankers. So I had a look on the fucking YouTube, ironically, to see what other people were saying about it. And it turns out that YouTube has removed 95% of the channels in its partnership program.
Mm-hmm.
Because they do not meet its standards. Now, the previous standards, which we met with ease, were 10,000 views to qualify. Yeah, so we got 10,000 views, so there wasn't a problem with that. This is our former life as Gaming Face Punch before we got associated with adult sex toys. Keith, you're still going to get shit for that forever, mate. So they changed the rules, and they turned around and went, right, okay, now you need 1,000 subs and 4,000 hours of watch time combined over the course of 1 year. Okay, fair enough. So one guy I watched on YouTube did a little test to see, you know, if I was a YouTube channel with 1,000 subscribers with, you know, roughly 4,000 hours of use, where I'd be. So if you were that, you'd sit about 2 million, you'd rank 2,350,000th in the YouTube rankings. Yeah, note there are 50 million YouTube channels. So that works out as you'd have to be in the top 5% in order to get any money. Now this I find really strange, because this will happen. We'll get kicked out of the partnership program the 20th of February and whatnot. Annoyingly, I don't know if we lose certain tools like the scheduling tool, where you could schedule it, and the other tool is the super chat tool, which we never used because we'd never get enough people to come bloody watch us, let alone pay to have a message put across. But I found it really kind of perturbed. Really shitty, because YouTube's got a horrible habit of only promoting you if you're already big. Yeah, if you're starting at the bottom, you're fucked. You have to be popular elsewhere in order to get inside the YouTube algorithm.
Not strictly true.
Yeah, Keith, I will give you an example. Our previous life, when we were Gaming Face Punch, we had our podcast, which didn't, how can I put it, wasn't inside the YouTube ecosystem, okay? And it was just inside the internet ecosystem, yeah? That podcast grew to about 500 downloads, yeah? It was per episode towards the end of its life, okay? Before we cocked up the SEO on it, yeah? And we didn't pay for any promotion on that whatsoever.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, all we did is we submitted it to podcatchers and things like that, and that's as close as we got. But it steadily grew. Now, our podcast now is not as popular, but it is growing. We've had week on week and month on month growth with our podcast, yeah? Mm-hmm. We've done nothing, okay? Now, with our YouTube channel, when we were doing the gaming face punch, we started off and we were getting growth and growth and growth until we hit December of 2015, was it? 2015?
Yes.
Yeah, 2015. And then all of a sudden, something changed. Our growth was killed off. We made no growth.
Almost immediately.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been following this guy, and he's an interesting
Hold on. Save it. Here comes the other part of it, yeah? Is YouTube going to promote your video if it hasn't got a video on it for them to make money off of? First question, yeah? Would they do that? The answer is, it's going to be a fucking no, isn't it? Because they want to make fucking money.
You've hit on a point there, because that was what I was going to make.
Hold on. And then, as I said before, you have to be popular externally. So I'll give you an example. Remember Vine? The little kind of Twitter version of YouTube? You've got the fucking village idiots of Logan Paul and, I don't know, John Paul, whatever his fucking name is, who came across. And because they were already famous on Vine, became famous on YouTube, and the algorithm then supported them, and then they hit critical mass quickly, and everything kind of ramped up fast for them, yeah? And the other part of it, too, is advertisers get confused over being sold against videos to being sold users, yeah? Because on YouTube, you get sold a user, yeah? This guy likes Coke, he likes cars, he likes football, yeah? So you put those adverts on a user basis onto those users. But they think it's associated with the video. The videos are associated with the users, yeah? I'll give you an example. I bought recently an 8-bit do Nintendo controller, yeah? I'm now getting adverts for controllers and shit in the corner. I'm not getting it as a video, but I'm getting them in the corner, both on, on the Google searches I do and on, like, kind of bits for YouTube, just with little adverts and stuff and that. It's really annoying because it doesn't do it, and the alternatives aren't quite there. But there is some news, yeah? Google and Amazon had a bit of a fucking argument over YouTube, yeah? Because Amazon were like, kind of, no, we don't sell the Chromecast, yeah? So Google went, no, right, you're not fucking having the YouTube app. So they took the YouTube app off of Amazon, to which Amazon turned around and goes, we'll make our own fucking YouTube then. And we know that Amazon are quite capable making their own YouTube.
Well, they own Twitch.
They own Twitch. So if they want to do that, they already have the facilities. They already have the video delivery of Amazon Prime and bits like that. Anyway, Keith, I'm sorry for interrupting you, darling. Would you like to speak?
Well, I've been watching this. I'm sort of got an interest in drones and stuff. And I've been watching using YouTube a lot to sort of learn a few things. And
did I you say drones?
Drone. And I came across this guy.
I'm interested in drones.
he's a bit intense, but he's very knowledgeable on what he is. He's an English fella. When I came across him, his channel had about 2,000 subs at most.
So it's already
probably
hit
a bit less than that. And this was only a couple of months ago. He is now growing by 1,000 subs a week. I mean, last I checked his channel, which was about 4 days ago, he was on 13,200 subs. He's now on 14,000. And he's just suddenly done that. And it's all to do with drones. And
Keith, just a quick one. When you say suddenly do that, yeah, describe it to the listeners.
It's suddenly increased massively. And there's a couple of guys I've come across. There's a guy in America whose channel was doing okay, but didn't have a huge amount of subs. Suddenly bought a DJI Mavic. Started doing videos about that, went through the roof. So what I'm saying is that in some cases, there seems to be, despite YouTube's changes, things that people want to watch. And if you produce good videos on drones, that seems to be something that's increasing channel viewership a lot. And there's three or four guys I've seen in similar things. I've come in almost at the beginning, and I found them through YouTube, through the search.
Keith, and I don't sound rude or anything.
They've gone
if they've got 1,000 people, yeah, and they haven't done any collabs and stuff, you've not come in at the beginning. Yeah, because if they've got 1,000, they've hit critical mass.
Is that critical mass? Because we'd already hit
critical
that.
Mass is 1,000. No, 1,000 users, subscribers, sorry.
Right, but we had 1,000 subs, didn't we?
No, we didn't. No. We had 305, I think, or 8 was the highest.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And it was a troll to get that. And that was like, we were driving fucking hard to try and get those in.
But before he was doing videos on drones, he would get 9 or 10 views. I mean, you know, you've got like 1 year ago, 883 views, 336 views, 116 views. His first video on drones, just going through it now to get to, because he was a vlogger. And then he suddenly buys a DJI Spark and does a video 3 months ago, 2.7K views. That's his first, the video before that got 821 views and it wasn't on anything. Video before that, 226 views. First drone video, 2.7K view. Next drone video, 271K.
Yeah, but hang on a second. Keith, you have to understand now, yeah, where he may started off as a vlogger, yeah, he can't go back to being a vlogger. He has to stick with drones.
Yeah, he does.
He has to now stick with drones. It's the same. It's the same with our fucking the Ace Combat video I did. Yeah, Ace Combat. Yeah, I bet you any money if I would have produced another 3-4 Ace Combat videos, we would have got the same amount of traffic off the first one. But the downside to that is, we weren't an Ace Combat channel. We were just a gaming thing. It was just one of the things that I was talking about.
Yeah, and it just happens that every time you search for Ace Combat, our video will be one of the top searches because of it.
Ace Combat Infinity, that is, sorry.
Yeah, Ace Combat Infinity.
So, I managed to cut out a niche for a very specific game.
Yeah, and I think that was about 2 years ago. It's still, despite us not doing YouTube on that channel for over a year, it's still our most watched video on that
channel. What's the second most watched video?
Oh, I'm not sure.
It's one of mine, the second most watched video is one of mine. It's not your Flockers one.
Fuck.
Okay.
Yours, I think, is Flockers third.
And then Spelunky is fourth. Yeah.
Third time lucky, Gareth. Third time lucky.
The one that needed to be second was, what's it, fucking Ho-Hook'em.
Yeah, Ho-Hook'em was very good.
Ho-Hook'em was our best review.
Yeah,
it was. Nigel did the audio for it. I wrote it and it was fucking brilliant. And I'm gutted. Actually, I might try and get the audio out so you can just bung it on after the bit at the end, just so people can have a listen to it. Because it sounds fucking funny. Anyway, that's the thing with the YouTube. I think that YouTube now is ripe for a fucking competition. I hope Amazon brings some competition with it, because YouTube recently with the... Did you hear about the Logan Paul thing in Japan?
Yes. I did, yeah.
Yeah, you heard about that, where this guy, I'm not joking, he is the fucking village idiot of YouTube.
But he looks like his brother. He looks like an idiot. I'm sorry, I don't mean that nice, but his hair and everything. He looks like a court jester. He looks like a stereotyped idiot.
I have no idea why he's fucking so popular. Unless it's people watching it like they're watching a fucking car crash.
And
I remember when PewDiePie was big and I used to think he was a bit shit. But it's still much better than that.
There's a program on my kids. Well, my kids watch it on Nickelodeon, I think it is, where a couple of girls, they have their own channel. It's not YouTube. They call it something else. I can't remember what this program's called for the life of me. The kids will know. But it's all based around these two girls in America. They do goofy videos and stuff like that, and they eventually get to join the exclusive club where people have over a certain amount of subs, like the YouTube office and whatnot, you know, but it's based around that. And actually one of these people is that Logan Paul.
Yeah, he was kicked off of that TV show. He was kicked off of that TV show. Yeah,
I think he was, because
they fired him because he was an arsehole.
Yeah, I can imagine he was. He thinks he's bigger than he is just because he's got a load of subs.
To be honest, I mean, I don't think any kid should be on YouTube. I actually think it's funny. In the last year, I've very much changed my opinion on all sorts of things when it comes to online. But you look at these kids, you look at the kid that got that was in I'm a Celebrity and you know, got vilified by the media because they found a tweet that he made 4 years ago, and he's a huge YouTube star now. A tweet 4 years ago that was, you know, less than great. But he's a kid, man, and kids say shit. And I tell you, if and when I have a son or daughter, they are not touching social media until they're at least 18. And they're definitely not being able to make unsupervised YouTube videos. I don't even know if they should be on YouTube. I don't know yet about that. But it worries me. It does. It scares me.
Okay. All right, so we've bitched enough about YouTube. Any other business, gentlemen? Any other things that crop up? Nice. Did you watch any more Inside Number 9s?
Oh, I love that.
Did you watch some?
I've watched all of them. I love them.
Have you watched all of them? Did you watch the ones I like? The 12 Days of Christine, is this fucking... Did you watch the Sphinx one?
I saw the Sphinx.
Did you like
but
that?
But then, what I downloaded, episode 3, series 3, sorry, and we watched 4 of those in episode 3. The Sphinx was one of them. And then there was 2 left, which I had downloaded, and then... It ticked over 12 midday. It wasn't 12 at night. It was 12 midday. And they took them off. And they deleted them. I was like, well, I can't watch Final 2. But like we said, it was on Netflix. So
I really enjoyed this series. I thought the hotel one was brilliant. The hotel one was very, very clever.
That was Shakespearean, that one.
Yes, but it was written like that. It was written almost as a sonnet. It was amazingly well written. And then... That episode with the basically the sort of lesser well known Morecambe and Wise double act.
That was so sweet.
It was.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And then this week's one.
Oh, the last 10 minutes.
Yes,
that was fantastic.
That was brilliant.
You've not seen that.
Oh, it's brilliant.
Oh, it's great. The story is what happens is it shows you a bit and then it goes, what happened 10 minutes ago? And then what happened 10 minutes? And the story's being told backwards.
Oh.
And it's fabulous. It's absolutely fabulous because they tell the whole story backwards, and I'm just like, "This is so clever." Do you think it's better than Black Mirror?
Yes.
I'm not wrong. I've been vindicated.
I think it's brilliant, and I never heard of it. And it was only when I watched that one in the hotel that I went, "What the fuck is this? Why have I never heard of it?" Because it's from the guys that did League of Gentlemen. And there were, and you know, there was bits I liked about League of Gentlemen, the bits that I didn't. Actually, I hate to say this, you don't miss Mark Gatiss in this. It's the other two, and the two of them are geniuses. No. They are very clever. And
that is a terrible thing to say, that Mark Gatiss was holding them back.
Well, I think he was. I mean, the thing was, I liked the last League of Gentlemen. They were very good, but again, they were almost a bit too odd in places. And where the fuck was Papa Lazaro? He didn't come in until right at the end.
what I was going to say, did you watch Psychoville?
No. Is that any...
Try and find Psychoville on Netflix. That's another one that those two did. And that was another really clever one. And it's got the kid from 15 Million Merits.
Yeah.
And there's a bit where he meets a Nazi, but he doesn't realise it's a Nazi until he climbs down into his basement and it's full of Nazi paraphernalia. And he turns around and goes, fuck me! he steps down and says, looks around and goes, oh, fuck! It's fucking brilliant. Just a quick one. Did you watch The 12 Days of Christine, Nige?
I don't think I've seen that.
Okay, have you watched The 12 Days of Christine one? That's the saddest one. I want you guys to watch that and tell me how fucking sad you were after.
Well, I was quite sad.
Was it series 3?
2. It was series 2.
I'm going to download all of them, but the other one the week before, that was a tearjerker at the end. I knew there was something wrong. And I thought it was going to be, I thought it was the other way around. I thought it was the other guy that died, until you really hear how terrible the other guy's life was. And then you think, oh no, it's him. And then when she comes in and confirms it, you do have a tear. It was, but it was genius because it was very, very funny throughout, even though it was quite hard hitting, but it was also very, very funny. And that's the thing. I think it's they're very clever. They are very clever.
Yeah. They are. It's a total recommendation.
They get the balance right. But yeah, anyway. Yeah,
they are really good. And I think, as I said, that's one of the reasons when I look at Inside Number 9, throughout the 4 series it's had, compared to the fourth series of, was it three? Was it three or four? It's four Black
four,
Mirror, isn't it?
Four.
And I look at the comparison of the two of them, it's held up. Yeah. And it still holds up. But yeah, it's the best alternative if you want to, if you like Black Mirror and you want something more but different, then that's the best place to go. And on that note, I think it's time we all said goodbye. So I'll say goodbye, and then Keith will say bye-bye. Goodbye, and people will say goodbye. I'll just be me saying goodbye.
Goodbye.
And then Keith. No.
There you go, Keith.
Well, anyway, I was trying to say goodbye, but this dipstick, he interrupted me, for God's sake.
Oh,
I've been
off.
Such a good boy this episode. I haven't interrupted you once. I'd like to point out that the person who interrupted you this week is fucking him. It's fucking him.
Do you know what? Actually, when it comes to not behaving, it was me who hasn't behaved very well this week. So,
thank you, fans.
And on that bombshell, it's goodbye from me.
It's goodbye from me.
And me.
We'll see you, or you will hear from us in the next podcast.
Okay.
Right. I was just supposed to go bye.
Was I?
You always go bye, so you get the last word.
Bye.
Fuck you.
Thanks for downloading the Monkey Nut Punch podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Monkey Nut Punch. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Monkey Nut Punch.